Hello, my name is Jennifer Marley. I'm 22 years old. Today is April 21st. I'm speaking with my mother today, and we are recording this interview in Pewaukee, New Mexico. So, I know that you've had many jobs throughout your life, but can you tell me in general, like a synopsis about what you've done for a living, the types of jobs you've had?
Okay. Most of my experience has been in retail sales, mostly Native American art, Native American jewelry, some hospitality in the hotel industry. I've also worked in the tourist information business, which I really love. I love to educate people about the local area and cultures. I think that would probably, that's pretty much been my favorite job thus far. However, I have some college education in psychology, which is something that I still would like to pursue, but as of right now, my college career is on hiatus until further notice.
Great, thank you. What did you think you were going to be when you grew up?
I didn't really think about what I thought I would be. I thought about what I wanted to be. When I was little, I wanted to be an astronaut. I wanted to be a makeup artist. I wanted to be famous, as most kids do. And as I got to my teenage years, I realized that I kind of had a knack for psychology and talking to people, helping people. I really like to study the way the human mind works, and especially abnormal psychology. I thought that was very interesting, and I still think it is. So, although I haven't established a career in psychology yet, and I'm still in my college studies, I hope to still pursue that at some point in my life.
Are there any lessons your work life has taught you? Life lessons or any lessons?
Well, I've learned to tolerate people, that's for sure. I believe I have exceptional customer service skills. I've taken courses in that, as the majority of my jobs deal with the public, have dealt with the public. I like to work with people. I prefer not to work alone. I've learned a lot about other people and what interests them and what makes them tick. And I just really like to educate people, and I like it when people want to be educated. So that's a lot of fun. And it's not much work. It's more fun than work. So I think that's a lot. That's mostly it. Just I love to be around people and just in my everyday life as well as work.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any favorite stories from your work life? Funny stories, heartfelt stories? You can share more than one.
I think one of the weirdest stories was when I worked at the Santa Fe Opera as an usher. I was standing near a couple and I was making conversation with them, and out of nowhere they handed me a pair of handcuffs and told me to make them proud. I don't know what in the world that meant, but I took the handcuffs and I gave them to my supervisor, and I told her what they said, and she just laughed. I thought it was weird.
Oh my God, I know. I've never heard this story.
Yeah.
Was it like some weird like BDSM stuff?
They just seemed like an ordinary, nice, happy couple. And then they whipped out the handcuffs and gave them to me, and I didn't know what to say or do until they said, make us proud. I really don't know what that meant. But aside from that, couple other funny, well, the most funny things that would happen was when I worked at the Institute of American Arts Museum gift shop and admissions booth. A lot of people, well, they're uneducated about the Native American culture. They think we're all the same. They think that we all live in teepees and, you know, the typical stereotype. And they asked me one time, how do I get to work every day? And I guess they expected me to say that I come to work on horseback or something like that. I said I drive my car. Yeah, I drive a red convertible. So they were kind of surprised at that. And then another time a couple asked me, they said, where can we see an Indian dance? And my coworker, being a Native American guy, started dancing. I know, and like they didn't get it at first, but I couldn't help but crack up. So, you know, it's mostly just those kind of ignorant moments and dealing with stereotypes that are the funniest. And just odd people here and there. This woman came into the Tourist Information Center in Pewaukee where I worked, and she asked me for squaw boots. I did not know what squaw boots were, and I told her the word squaw was particularly offensive to us Native American women, especially. She was talking about moccasins. And I told her, I was like, you know what? They're called moccasins. They're not squaw boots, and we're not squaws. So those are a couple of the stories that stand out to me the most.
Some rowdy stories you got there. And I think what's really interesting is those are stories that most people doing this interview would not have. And it's because you work in this particular line of work and you've done it so consistently that over the years you've got to see like the best and the worst of people who come visit New Mexico.
Yep, definitely.
Yeah. So the next question is, can you describe a time when you felt especially satisfied with the work you were doing?
Well, again, as I said before, I love to work with people. And the people that I love to work with the most would be tourists to the local area because they come to me with those ridiculous stereotypes, and I'm more than happy to educate them and let them know, you know, we're not all like that. We don't all live in teepees. We don't all speak the same language. We don't say how. Mm-hmm. And just to let them know that although we're all Native people, we're all different. We all have different practices, different languages. We're all brothers and sisters, but we're different, and there are so many different tribes. So educating people about my people as much as I am allowed to teach is probably my favorite thing. Teaching etiquette in the Pueblos is very important, so I love to do that. Mm-hmm. Another job that I really, really loved was working at the opera, because I love the opera, and I was getting paid. So in my mind, I was getting paid to watch operas while everybody else was paying to watch operas. Yeah, and I got to see Mikhail Baryshnikov 9 times. Yep.
Nice, nice. Is there ever a time when you became particularly frustrated or angry or disgusted, maybe with the lack of manners or inappropriate questions you got while at work? And how did you deal with that?
Most definitely working with the tourists who, you know, who can be a little ignorant about the area, the cultures, not just my culture, but the surrounding cultures, you know, like I said, the stereotypes in their heads is all they know. And when people insist that I am wrong about something that I grew up with, I just want to scream when they are not satisfied with what I have to say, such as a woman asked me when I worked at the Institute of American Arts bookshop. She asked me if there was a book on a general Native American language. I tried to explain to her there is no one general Native American language. She said, there must be. How do you all communicate with each other? I said, well, we have our own languages and different dialects of you know, a particular language like Tewa has different dialects, although it is still Tewa. I tried to explain that, and she just would not accept it. I told her there were other tribes who had their own languages as well. We can't speak our native tongues with the Navajo because their language is totally different. We can't speak Keri's with them because their language is totally different. And the only way I could get people to understand was to explain using, for example, Germany and Japan. Or let's say German and French. Although European countries, their languages are totally different. Then they would understand. And they could not understand, tourists could not understand how some people could go to church and still practice their native traditions. That took a lot of explaining, and there was a lot of confusion. But I stay patient. I would stay patient and do my best to explain as best I could without getting too angry. However, you know, well, you're not going to get angry in front of the customer. So you keep your cool, you explain, and then you turn around and scream.
Yeah, just deal with it at home or something.
Yes.
Yeah. So on that note, what was your least favorite job? I'll ask that one first. What was your least favorite job and why?
My least favorite job. My least favorite job. That's hard because I liked all of my jobs. There was always something that I liked about it. However, I would have to say that when I was working in the hospitality industry, I was doing housekeeping. There was a lot of pressure. There were language barriers, and there was a lot of competition, a lot of competition among the employees. There was one time, though, when I worked in housekeeping where I pretty much knew everybody. We were all friends somehow, and we all happened to work in the same place. And that was a lot of fun because we helped each other out. And it was good. But other places, it was very difficult. There was a lot of confusion. There was a lot of accusing who did this, who didn't do that, who's better, who's worse. And, you know, I don't go to jobs to compete. I don't go to jobs to make friends. I go there to earn a living. So that, I would have to say housekeeping was my least favorite job. I mean, I don't mind cleaning. I just don't like the competition, the petty competition.
Mm-hmm. Well, why do you think it was that there was such competition in that particular industry versus some of the other jobs you worked in?
Well, this is just my opinion. I believe that women are very competitive. And in housekeeping, it is mostly women. However, I did work with male housekeepers at one point. And, of course, there are the housemen. But there is a lot of competition among women. And it's hard for me to explain because I'm not a competitive worker like that. I just want to do my job. Everybody's always trying to show the other up, and it shouldn't even be like that. It should be about getting the job done, doing it right, and helping each other out. But when it came to housekeeping, it wasn't like that. And, you know, not to sound racist or anything, but...
No, be careful. This is going to the Library of Congress.
Okay, but a few times I was the only English-speaking person. And I was pretty much the minority because of that. And when you're living in your own country and you're getting a bunch of grief because you don't speak a foreign language, it's just so unfair. It's just unfair, and it makes for a hostile working environment. So I did my best to communicate as well as I could, but it still was upsetting to some people. I just don't know. I think women are just very competitive.
So what's interesting about this is it actually reminds me of the environment. So in this class, labor in the U.S., we're learning about the labor conditions in a bunch of different sectors, and what you're describing actually sounds like what we learned about in the farm worker sector, where it's primarily undocumented folks, Spanish-speaking folks, and what they would do is they would actually, the bosses, the supervisors, would kind of pit folks against each other along racial lines. And they would perpetuate the atmosphere of competitiveness by offering incentives or penalties based on the work you did, the speed at which you did the work, your productivity. So I just find it really interesting that in this particular line of work, you're kind of seeing the same conditions manifest. So do you think at all, like, in any way, did you ever feel pressure from supervisors to engage in kind of that competitive work?
At one hotel, I did feel that. I worked at 3 hotels in housekeeping. One hotel, the manager was pretty... I did feel like she pressured me to... Oh, gosh, how do I put it? I guess she kind of made me feel inferior somehow by kind of saying, well, in so many words, these girls are better than you. Mm-hmm. And I know for a fact that we were all working hard. We were all working just as hard as the next girl. And I don't really understand why she put that pressure on me. Again, I was the minority based on the fact that I was the only Native American person. I was the only English-speaking person. However, in my other two jobs, I did not feel pressure. I felt like my supervisors treated me fairly. It was just the coworkers that I felt were competitive and very critical. But it was only just that one supervisor that I felt tension with. The others were good. They were good supervisors. They gave constructive criticism, which was I never felt like I was put down. I always took it as constructive criticism. And if you did a good job, if you went above and beyond your expectations, they recognized that and they praised it. So supervisors, no. I've never really had a problem with them.
And then what was your favorite job?
Oh my gosh. One of my favorite jobs was being a slot attendant at a casino because it was very fast paced. The time went by very fast. The tips were excellent. Nice. The hours worked well for me for a while. And my coworkers were awesome. Everybody worked together. there was very little competition. It was all about getting the job done and helping each other. I just really like a job where I'm gonna stay busy. I do not like being bored at jobs. And at the casino, there was a lot of people, action, excitement, and it was so fast paced that, I mean, it was just fun. It was hard work, a lot of physical labor, because those back then, you had to carry those big giant bags of coins around, and that was very tiring at first, but you get used to it. And I met a lot of awesome people. A lot of the customers became friends, and it was nice to see people win the big jackpots. You get real happy for them, and it was just really good. I really like that.
Nice. And I know also recently, your most recent job actually kind of differed from most of your past jobs, and that you worked with children. And you said you liked that a lot. Can you describe that a little bit and talk about that in contrast with most of your work experience?
Okay, yeah, that was a really fun job because I got to exercise my psychological skills. I worked with children with behavioral problems. I was assigned to a student who needed some extra guidance in the classroom. And my first student was a fourth grader. And all I had to do was stay by her side, watch her, make sure she stayed on task, and just if she had any kind of behavioral blowout, I had to pretty much just take her under my wing, calm her down, make sure she didn't do anything appropriate in the classroom or to any kids or to any teachers. I never had a problem with her, so we got to be really close. She confided in me a lot, and I tried to help her emotionally because it seemed like she didn't have a lot of positive reinforcement at home. And another time I worked in the pre-K classroom, special ed. Some of the kids were special ed, some of them were not. And I really loved that because they're little and you just basically get to play with them. And I love kids, kind of a kid at heart, so it was a lot of fun. And the kids are just like, they're so loving, and they all have so many different traits and personalities, and you just love to see their little individual habits and their little characters, and I loved it, and I might do it again someday. It can be tiring, but it's definitely rewarding.
Nice, thank you. Mm-hmm. So collectively, what do you think you disliked most about your jobs? It could be particular jobs, it can be a general thing, just however you want to answer that.
Or if you feel like you already answered that, you don't have to again.
The one thing I really don't like about regular jobs and just everyday life is getting up early. Yeah. I'm not a morning person. I really liked working swing from 7 to 2 a.m. I loved working at the opera because it was a night job, and I'm just naturally a nocturnal person. However, having young children, my priority is to find work hours that work with their schedule, because I think it's very important to be home with the kids. And I've sacrificed a lot of income, to be home with my kids. Each one of them, I tried to be at home with them in their formative years, from newborn, infancy, up to kindergarten age, as much as possible. So I think I was able to give most of my kids that much of my time, and I think that time with them is so crucial that I think they benefited from that a lot, And so have I. It solidifies the bond between you and your kids to have that time together. And when they see you going to work or going to school, when they have to go to school, it's motivating for the kids. And so I just think that's what I love, is having a job that'll work around my family schedule. But, you know, if I have to wake up at the crack of dawn, I'll do it. If I have to work grave, I'll do it. So, you know, you just do what you gotta do, but kids come first.
Yeah, definitely. I think that makes a lot of sense. And the things you dislike about your jobs in general would be interfering with family time. Mm-hmm. So the last one, I don't know if this question would be applicable to a lot of your jobs, but I know that housekeeping one might, and maybe some of the retail ones, but it's, would you ever consider joining a union? So for example, here, like, in the housekeeping sector, if you felt you were being treated poorly, if you felt like your conditions were not appropriate, and you knew that it was an option to, do you know what a union is? Okay, yeah, so like, would you ever consider joining one? I know that might be hard to answer at the moment, being that you're like unemployed, but yeah.
If I had a job that was not just a job, but a career, I would consider joining a union. Something that may, like, if it was a job where I could be offered tenure or something like that, mm-hmm. Yes. But for something like housekeeping, no. Because there are so many jobs like that out there that you can easily, I mean, if you're being mistreated, you can easily move on to the next. They're always needed. Mm-hmm. If I were still working with the public schools, yes, I would consider that, because as it is, teachers are underpaid. Anybody who works with children definitely needs to be treated fairly, paid accordingly, and so on and so forth. But I don't even know if there's a union that the teachers join in Pewaukee.
There should be.
I don't know.
I think.
But no, only if it were a long-lasting, you know, solid career, I would. Not for, you know, these minor jobs, I wouldn't. I could easily move on.
Yeah. Cool, thanks. So the last one, or not the last one, but we're nearing the last few questions. What's your favorite work story? I think you already shared a lot of cool stories, some not so cool stories.
It's kind of a cool story, but kind of not fair ending. When I was working at the casino, there was a man playing the dollar machines. It was either the dollar machines or $5 machines, and he hit the jackpot on a progressive machine. He won $50,000. So I picked up his jackpot, and when you pick up someone's jackpot, it's kind of like taking someone's order at a restaurant. So I went, I wrote down his jackpot for $50,000. Upon bringing his jackpot, his cash or cashier's check, however he wanted it, you need to have your supervisor and security with you. So I got my manager, got security. They escorted me back to the man with the jackpot at his machine, and he tipped me $5,000, which was awesome. But I had to share it with everybody on my shift. And unfortunately, a few of those people were not the best, not the nicest people when it came to customer service. So, I mean, I was used to sharing tips, $10, you know, $20 in the pot for everybody. But when it came to $5,000, I just wanted to cry. So that was a pretty cool story for the man who won. I love to see people win.
How much did you get?
My cut? Oh gosh, I just remember that day shift, we all got pretty good checks. Normally on our swing shift, we would get, I would say, average $350 every other week. For that particular paycheck, I think we got something like maybe like $450, close between $450 and $500 on that tip check. It's been so long, but I just think, I mean, the poor guy had to pay taxes and stuff too, so
yeah.
And splitting it all those ways with all the other slot attendants, it should have come out to a lot more.
Yeah, people don't really realize how much there is to casino wins. Mm-hmm. You can't just take it all home. So, two more. Second to last one is a little bit on the darker side, but in any of your jobs at any point, have you ever personally or secondhand, meaning people you've seen or known, dealt with sexual harassment? And if so, how was that handled, if it was handled at all?
Sexual harassment.
Or like any harassment, stalking, verbal abuse, just unsafe working environments.
Yes. Unfortunately, one of my supervisors at one of my housekeeping jobs was fired because she was being stalked by her husband's ex-girlfriend. It was horrible that my supervisor had to be fired and that her stalker pretty much got away with what she did. And my supervisor had to suffer the consequences, and she was a really good supervisor. She was awesome. She treated everybody equally, and she was very good to all of us. And I just thought it was so unfair that she had to be fired for that. Mm-hmm. Other types of harassment. I don't know if you could consider the handcuffs harassment. It was just really odd.
I've been thinking about that. Like, in today's day and age, I might think of it as like a sexual thing. Like, were they making some kind of pass at you? I don't know.
I really don't know. I just really didn't know how to take it. I didn't know what they meant. I just thought it was really weird. And my supervisor, just after she laughed, she was like, "What the heck is that supposed to mean?" And I was like, "I don't know. Here's the handcuffs. Take them away. I don't want them."
It's just so weird. Like, the handcuffs themselves, like, could represent so many things, like power, violence, policing, restraint. Like, what is it? Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah, you could probably pick that one apart and come to a lot of different conclusions. Aside from that, well, a sexual harassment from customers, yeah, that would happen. You know, you get people asking you out on dates and stuff, but that hasn't happened since I worked in retail sales, and that's been a while.
Really, retail?
Yeah.
Is where you experience the most sexual harassment from customers?
I guess it would be considered sexual harassment when somebody tries to ask you out.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think when I was younger, unfortunately, and I was working in a video store when I was 16, 17... That's when I, like, a lot of, like, the younger guys would, like, ask me out and stuff. And even some, like, older guys who would rent the, you know, kind of risque videos would make comments. And that was really uncomfortable because I was young and they're old. And there they are with these crazy movies and that I have to rent out to them. And they're asking me if I've seen this before and just weird stuff. And I'm like, no.
Ew, yeah.
You know, you have to stay professional. I would tell my supervisor, of course. And, you know, the other guy on staff was a fatherly kind of guy, father figure. And he would tell me, if that guy comes in again, let me handle him. Mm-hmm. So that was really good. We kind of, us girls who worked there, kind of had our protector there. He took care of us young girls and never let anybody bother us. So thank God for him. But yeah, it would happen. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you know, you just kind of learn to just defend yourself and just...
Mm-hmm. And you feel like they handled it okay? Like, you feel like they could have done better or...
At times I had to handle it myself, but when I was working at the video store and those things would happen, the man that I worked with, he definitely would step up and take care of any customers that made us feel uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And we never had to deal with them again. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I felt okay at that place. And we would all, at the end of the day, you know, we'd kind of freak out and wonder, is this guy gonna wait for me after work? So we'd all walk out together, and you know, the supervisor and our coworker Bob, they would make sure, you know, all the females got in their cars and drove off, and then they would leave. Mm-hmm. So it was safe. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, I was sexually harassed at the casino. Mm. Yeah, I was carrying out two bags of coins, very large denominations, and this guy who used to tip me very well, I guess, I don't know if he got the wrong idea or what, but he came up from behind me while I was carrying these bags, and he wrapped his arms around me from behind, and he squeezed the heck out of me. And luckily I was by the security podium, and all the security, they just came, they jumped on him, they tackled him. Mm. Yeah. And so then security escorted me for the rest of the way with my money, because I mean, I don't know if they would have even given it a second thought if I didn't have all that money in my hands. Yeah. But because I had, like, I don't know, maybe, I'd say maybe I had $1,000 worth of coins and cash at that time. Mm-hmm. And when he came up to me like that, it was just really scary. But I'm just grateful security was right there to tear him off.
Yeah.
Yeah, I forgot about that. That one was the worst, I would say.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that really was physical contact. Yeah. That was gross.
It is kind of sad to think, though, that they might not have done anything if you weren't carrying thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
Jeez. Okay, so I'll end on a lighter note. So it seems like what I'm getting overall from this is you really like to be social in your work. Like spending time working with people, spending time with your kids is like really important to you. And as it is for everyone, I'd assume. How would you, like in a perfect world, like how would you envision work kind of changing in such a way that would allow you to be more social and not so isolated and be able to work with your family life? And I know that's a really big loaded question, so just answer however you please.
In a perfect world, I would work a 10 to 5 job, not 9 to 5, 10 to 5, because I need my sleep to function. And I would continue to work with the public and just have time to talk to people and just be around a lot of people, stay busy, that's for sure. I don't want to be bored. I don't want to be stuck to a computer. I really liked, I guess, something like the opera. Mm-hmm. Because it was so relaxed. I mean, we had to be professional, yes, but that's not hard. You just be on your best behavior and you smile. And you get to talk to so many people and meet so many different kinds of people. And, you know, sometimes you just click with people and you start talking about, like, deep stuff, you know, and it's cool because I like it when people feel like they can open up to me because they can. Mm-hmm. And I'm more than happy to listen and respond. And I would definitely have weekends off, holidays off. This is in a perfect world. I would make good pay. If it were a perfect world, I'd be on salary. Yeah, and I'd be able to take my kids to work. Mm-hmm. That would be a perfect world. Either that or pick the babysitter of my dreams, charge free, government pay for them. So, yeah, I just love people. I love people. Talking to people, listening to people, helping people, and staying busy, and, you know, working around my family schedule. In a perfect world, that's how it would be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I think a lot of folks mirror that sentiment where your work environment, like, isn't isolating. Because that's how people tend to experience work, is it's very isolating.
Those are the jobs I quit.
Yeah.
I quit the boring, isolating jobs.
Mm-hmm. Because you want to have a connection to the work you do and the things you produce. Like, you want to, you put your heart in whatever work you're producing.
I feel like I have nothing to offer unless I'm working with people. I feel like I'm wasting my time sitting somewhere, waiting for something to happen, or, you know, doing something behind a computer that the computer can probably do by itself anyway. So, yeah, I feel like it's just a waste of time if I'm not actively doing something or talking to someone or making some kind of a difference with somebody.
Great. So I think this is a perfect place to end and close off. So thank you so much for interviewing with me. And do you have any final thoughts or comments?
I don't think I do. I just, I'm good.
Cool. And just for reference, do you want to just, with the few, like, 3 minutes we have left, do it? Quick background about who you are, who your kids are, just for reference.
Okay, my name is Andrea Pino. I come from the Zepe family of San Alfonso Pueblo. I am also part Zia Pueblo. I come from a family of pottery artists. My children are Jennifer Marley, Azalea Gallegos, and Zephyr Pino. Those are my three babies. And I'm the youngest of five girls. I have lots of nieces and nephews. And I just love staying close to my family. I could never move very far, even for a job. Not even for the job of my dreams. I'd have to stay close.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And one last quick question. Do you think your mom's line of work as a potter, your parents' work as potters, had any influence, or can you make any connect to the jobs you've worked in your life?
As far as retail sales go, having grown up in the art world, not just around the pottery world, but traveling with my mom to art shows, meeting artists, seeing other art, I learned a lot about different kinds of art. Therefore, that knowledge came in handy when I was working in retail sales, when I was selling the art. I can sell it, I just can't make it.
Great. Okay, well, I'm gonna go ahead and wrap up now. And thank you so much again.
You're welcome. Thank you.